Nations customarily measure the cost of war in dollars, lost production, or the number of soldiers killed or wounded. But rarely do military establishments attempt to measure the cost of war in terms of individual suffering. Richard Gabriel. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Angie. And today we will be doing an educational show on war and its consequences from a mental health standpoint.
Among the many consequences of war, the negative impact war has on the mental health of the civilian population is one of the most significant.
War has a catastrophic effect on the health and well-being of nations.
Today we will be discussing how war has affected a number of countries, such as Afghanistan, Palestine, Iraq, and Cambodia.
We will also be giving you some tips on how to help a friend or family member with PTSD.
Another important topic we will be discussing is the effect that combat has, not only on the soldiers, but also on those who are not involved, but directly affected, such as women and children who live in war zones.
Lastly, we will be outlining Maslow's hierarchy of needs and comparing it to the effects of war in different parts of the world.
All of the music in this program revolves around the topic of war. We will be discussing some of the lyrics and why they are relevant to our show and what the artist is trying to portray. We're going to start you off with some Smiths, and after the break, we'll be looking at Cambodia and Palestine.
Thank you. say something. Lightweight, step it aside when we come in. Feel it in your chest, the syllables get pumping. People on the street get panic and start running. Words on loose leaf sheet, complete coming. I jump on my mind, I summon the rhyme I'm dumping. Healing the blind, I promise to let the sun in. Sick of the dark ways, we march to the drumming. Jump when they tell us that they want to see jumping. Dad, I want to see some fist pumping. Risk something, take back what's yours. Say something that you know they might attack you for. Cause I'm sick of being treated like I had before. Like a stupid standing for what I'm standing for. Like this war's really just a different brand of war. Like it doesn't cater to rich and a fan and poor. Like they understand you in the back of the jet. When you can't put gas in your tank. These are laughing away to the bank and cashing a check. Asking you to have the passion and have some respect. For a leader so nervous in an obvious way. Stuttering and mumbling for nightly news to replay. And the rest of the world watching at the end of the day. In the living room laughing like, what did he say? Tense, I know what might happen. World's cold, the bold men take action. Have to react to get blown into fractions. 10 years old, there's something to see. Another kid my age, drugged under a Jeep. Taken and bound and found later under a tree. I wonder if he had thought the next one could be me. Do you see the soldiers that are out today to brush the dust with bulletproof vests away? It's ironic, at times like this you pray. But a bomb blew the mosque up yesterday. There's bombs in the buses, bikes, roads, inside your market, your shops, your clothes. My dad, he's got a lot of fear, I know, but enough pride inside, nothing let that show. My brother had a book he would hold with pride, a little red cover with a broken spine on the back. He hand wrote a quote inside, when the rich wage war, it's the poor who die. Meanwhile, the leader just talks away, stuttering and mumbling for nightly news to replay. The rest of the world watching at the end of the day, both scared and angry, like, what did he say?
Welcome back to 919 The Cave. Thank you for tuning into our feature show on war and its negative impacts on the mental stability of nations.
Never think that war, no matter how necessary nor how justified, is not a crime. Ernest Hemingway. Studies have shown that conflict situations cause more mortality and disability than any major disease.
War also destroys communities and families and often disrupts the development of the social and economic fabrics of nations. The effects of war include long-term physical and psychological harm to children and adults, as well as reduction in material and human capital.
Death, as a result of wars, is simply the tip of the iceberg. Other consequences, besides death, are not well documented. They include endemic poverty, malnutrition, disability, economic and social decline, and psychosocial illness, to mention only a few.
To fully understand how war affects different parts of the world individually, we researched a number of countries.
The first country that we researched is Cambodia.
Cambodia has a long history of violence, highlighted by the civil war in the 1960s, culminating with the Khmer Rouge rule that destroyed their social fabric of society.
Studies have found that refugees had high levels of psychiatric symptomology after 10 years. A survey of approximately 1,000 adults from Site 2, which is the largest Cambodian displaced persons camp on the Thailand and Cambodia border, found that more than 80% felt depressed, and had a number of somatic complaints despite good access to medical services. Approximately 70% had symptom scores that correlated with Western criteria for depression and PTSD. 27 young Cambodians who were severely traumatized from ages 8 to 12 were followed up 3 years after a baseline evaluation. PTSD was still highly prevalent in 48%, and depression was present in 41%.
There is consistent evidence of higher rates of trauma-related psychological problems in children. The most impressive reports are those from Palestine. Of the different age groups, the most vulnerable are the adolescents.
Women also have an increased vulnerability to the psychological consequences of war. There is evidence of a high correlation between mothers and children's distress in a war situation. Despite their vulnerability, women's resilience under stress and its roles in sustaining their families is key.
There are also traditional healers such as monks, mediums, and traditional birth attendants who are losing their positions in the community.
The women and children in these societies depend on the help of these healers.
Social support and traditional birth attendants have a major role in promoting maternal psychological well-being in war-affected regions. There are records of a nurse being treated who suffered a psychological breakdown in the last Gulf conflict. On leaving the army, she could not keep jobs because of poor timekeeping and disproportionate responses to minor adversity. She developed fatigue, anorexia, and solitary alcohol binging. Civilian consultants proved unhelpful because no one asked about her experiences during the conflict to learn the origins of her dysfunction.
As you can see, Cambodia has been suffering for years and will continue to do so until this violence ends. Another country who has felt the impact of war for years is Iraq.
Iraq has been at war numerous times during history. We actually found a study on 45 Kurdish families in two camps that reported that PTSD was present in 87% of children and 60% of their caregivers. Another study on 84 Iraqi male refugees found that poor social support was a stronger predictor of depressive morbidity than trauma factors. No systematic study has been done, but there is lots of talk in the news.
War clearly creates wounds of all sorts. People lose limbs, friends, family, but the recent concerns about war have been focused on two combat-related injuries in particular, but not ones that you might expect: post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. With the increasing incidence of suicide and suicide attempts among returning veterans, concern about depression is also on the rise.
Early evidence suggests that the psychological toll of developments, many involving prolonged exposure to combat-related stress over multiple rotations, may be disproportionately high compared with the physical injuries of combat.
Essentially, this means that the mental toll that war is taking on troops and civilians is outweighing the physical harm troops endure during combat. In addition to physical problems caused by war, emotional problems are also brought on by battle regularly.
A large number of studies have reported high levels of psychological problems among children and adolescents, women and refugees, as well as prisoners in Palestine.
Children aged 10 to 19 years old revealed that 32.7% suffered from PTSD, 15.6% with mild PTSD symptoms, and only 2.5% had no symptoms at all.
A study on Palestinian perceptions of their living conditions during the Second Intifada found that 46% of parents reported aggressive behavior among children, 38% had noted bad school results, and 27% had bedwetting and nightmares.
It was also noted that children living in camps suffered more than children living in towns. The most prevalent types of trauma exposure for children were witnessing funerals, which 95% had, witnessing shootings, which 83% had, seeing injured or dead strangers, which 67% had, and a family member injured or killed, which is 62%. Girls are also more vulnerable to PTSD symptoms.
So now we're going to take a bit of a music break. Up next we have Eminem with Like Toy Soldiers, and just a reminder for you guys that all of the music in this show is related to war.
I'm bored. Let's do something else.
I got this book. My dad gave it to me.
Sounds as though the Detroit rapper is attempting to put an end to the war. close is composure. Even though I hold the weight of the whole world on my shoulders, I ain't never supposed to show it. My crew ain't supposed to know it. Even if it means going toe-to-toe with the Benzino, it don't matter. I'd never drag them in battles that I can handle unless I absolutely have to. I'm supposed to set an example. I need to be the leader. My crew looks for me to guide them. If something ever does pop off, I'm supposed to be beside them. That job that I tried to squash it, it was too late to stop it. There's a certain line you just don't cross, and he crossed it. I heard him say Haley's name on the song and I just lost it. It was crazy, this f***ing wavy on some Jay-Z and Nas. And even though the battle was won, I feel like we lost it. I spent so much energy on it, honestly I'm exhausted. And I'm so caught in it, I almost feel I'm the one who caused it. This ain't what I'm in hip-hop for, it's not why I got in it. That was never my object, for someone to get killed. Why would I wanna destroy something I helped build? It wasn't my intentions were good. I went through my whole career without ever mentioning it. Even that was just out of respect for not running my mouth and talking about something that I knew nothing about. Frustrates told me stay out. This wasn't my beef, so I did. I just fell back, watched and gritted my teeth while he's all over TV. And I'm fucking a man who literally saved my life. Like, it, I understand this is business, and this shit just isn't none of my business. But still, knowing that it could pop off at any minute. Elevated, cause once you put someone's kids in it, it just gets escalated. It ain't just words no more, is it? It's a different ballgame. You call names and you ain't just rapping. We actually tried to stop the 50 and Javi from happening. Me and Dre had sat with him, kicked it, and had a chat with him, and asked him not to start it. He wasn't gonna go after him until Josh started gapping in magazines how we stabbed him. If it be smashing, mashing him, let him have it. Meanwhile, my attention's pulled in another direction. Some receptionist at the source who answers phone to this desk has an obsession for me and thinks that I'll be his resurrection. He tries to blow the dust off his mic and make a new record. But now he's f***ed the game up, cause one of the ways I came up was through that publication, the same one that made me famous. Now the owner of it has got a grudge against me for nothing. If that other sucker could get it too. But I'm so busy being pissed off, I don't stop to think. We just inherited 50's beef with Murder, Inc. And he's inherited mine, which is fine. Ain't like either of us mine. We still have soldiers that's on the front lines, willing to die for us as soon as we get the orders. Never to extort us, strictly to show they support us. Or maybe shout them out in a rapper up in a chorus to show them we love them back and let them know how important it is to have Runyon Avenue soldiers up in our corners. The loyalty to us is worth more than any award is. But I ain't trying to have none of my people heard or murdered. It ain't worth it, I can't think perfect the way to word it. Then you just say that I love y'all too much to see the verdict. I'll walk away from it all before I let it go any further. But don't get it twisted, it's not a plea that I'm copping. I'm just willing to be the bigger man if y'all can quit popping off at your jaws. But then I can't, cause frankly I'm sick of talking. I'm not gonna let someone else's coffin rest on my conscience.
Welcome back to 91.9 The Cave, and thank you for tuning in to our specialty show on war. If you've missed the beginning of our show, we have been discussing the toll that war takes on civilians and troops from a mental health standpoint.
War grows out of the desire of the individual to gain advantage at the expense of his fellow man, Napoleon Hill. Now we're going to move into talking about shell shock syndrome.
The First World War is often associated with shell shock. SS was originally believed to have a physical origin caused by the impact of loud shelling. However, it became clear that soldiers who had never been exposed to shells were developing the same symptoms.
Because of its psychological origins, shell shock was defined as a neurosis, and there was little sympathy for shell-shocked soldiers.
Many boys lied about their age to get into the British Army, and many of the fighting forces were ill-equipped to deal with the carnage of the Western Front. Some refused to fight and were shot for cowardice, while others suffered the effects of shell shock for many years afterwards. In the First World War, 306 British soldiers were executed for cowardice.
Figures from the last Gulf War show that 19% of troops have been diagnosed with a psychological problem. Yet these figures don't take into account the fact that many soldiers do not admit to psychological problems because of the service's macho image.
Many veterans with mental health problems have not come in for services. Reasons that some veterans have given for not getting treatment include concern over being seen as weak,
concern about being treated differently,
concern that others would lose confidence in them,
concern about privacy.
They prefer to rely on family and friends.
They don't believe treatment is effective.
Concerns about side effects of treatments.
Or problems with access, such as cost or location of treatment.
Here we have a quote from a soldier who fought in the Second World War.
The Army views psychological problems as a weakness. I was told that if you have a problem, it is your problem. And if you can't sort it out, write a letter of resignation and go. There was a video going around at the time advising soldiers what to do in cases of battle shock. It told us to get back to a safe place, give them a cup of tea and a fag, and send them as quickly as possible to the front again. There was no counseling.
Although health authorities claim they can look after former soldiers, most consultants have little or no experience of this area, and many soldiers drop out of treatment programs because they believe staff cannot understand the traumas they have been through.
We're going to direct our attention back toward the countries that we have studied.
The next country that we placed our focus on is Afghanistan.
More than 2 years of conflict has led to widespread human suffering and population displacement in Afghanistan. A national multi-usage cluster and population-based survey was conducted, including about 800 adult household members aged 15 years old and above.
62% of respondents reported experiencing at least 4 trauma events during the 10 previous years. Symptoms of depression were found in 67% of respondents, symptoms of anxiety in 72%, and PTSD was found in 42% of the respondents.
A second study was conducted with over 1,000 respondents aged 15 years and older, and nearly half the population had experienced traumatic events. 38.5% had symptoms of depression, and 51% had symptoms of PTSD.
Women in the study generally had higher rates than men.
As we were looking through statistics, something that really shocked us and horrified us was that more than 5 times the number of British troops killed in the last Gulf War have also committed suicide.
Another statistic that really caught our attention is that research reveals that 1 in 4 homeless people are ex-armed services personnel. Thousands live rough or in sheltered accommodation.
Many also suffer from drug and alcohol abuse. Returning armed services personnel often end up in rehab, on the streets, or with severe mental health problems, and nearly 5,000 ex-servicemen are in prison, often as a result of the trauma they suffered in war.
So, out of curiosity, we attempted to apply Maslow's hierarchy of needs to war.
Maslow studied what he called exemplary people, such as Albert Einstein, Jane Addams, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Frederick Douglass, explaining that he was studying normal people, and furthered it by saying that his philosophy would be considered weird if he studied what he considered as weird people. Maslow's hierarchy of needs ties in very well with our topic. These needs are usually displayed in a pyramid.
The first level of the hierarchy of needs is deficiency needs. This involves esteem, friendship, and love, security, as well as physical needs. If these needs are not met, an individual could feel anxious or tense. War provides no security whatsoever, and having a friend or lover go to war could take a toll on you mentally.
The second level of the pyramid that we focused on is when the individual's safety needs take precedence and dominate behavior. In order for the second level to happen, a person's physical needs must be relatively satisfied. Due to war, natural disaster, family violence, childhood abuse, any of these things, people may experience post-traumatic stress disorder or transgenerational trauma.
The third level can only occur after the physiological and safety needs are fulfilled. This level involves a sense of belongingness. So this need is especially strong in childhood. Many people without this sense of belongingness often feel loneliness, social anxiety, and clinical depression in some cases even. Now, I don't know if you remember me talking about the Palestinian children and how wars affected them, and this is actually a great example of this need.
The last level that applies to our topic is self-actualization. What a man can be, he must be. This quote forms the basis of the perceived need for self-actualization. This level refers to what a person's full potential is and the realization of that potential. As previously mentioned, Maslow believed that to understand this level of need, the person must not only achieve the previous needs, but master them. A person cannot achieve this when they are surrounded by war and violence.
We've got our last bit of music here, and we're going to hear some more My Chemical Romance with Mama. And then we have Zombie by the Cranberries, and then we have Far From Home from Five Finger Death Punch. And after that, we're going to close everything off for you guys.
Mama, we all go to hell. Mama, we all go to hell. I'm writing this letter and wishing you well.
Mama, we all go to hell. Oh, well, now, Mama, we're all gonna die. Mama, we're all gonna die. Stop asking me questions. I hate to see you cry. Mama, we're all gonna die. And when we count all three of us, yeah, we're full of lies. Mama, we're meant for the flies. And right now they're building a coffin your size. Mama, we're all full of lies. Well, mother was the warning to my legs and to my tongue. You should have raised a baby girl. I should have been a better son. If you could cuddle the infection, they can amputate. You should have been, I could have been a better son. And when we count all three of us, yeah, we'll let the fires just feed us, yeah. You made us so, so famous, we'll never let you go. She said you ain't no son of mine, for what you done there, can't find.
Another day in this carnival of souls. Another night ends as quickly as it goes. The memories are shadows, echo the page, and I can't seem to find my way home. And it's almost like your heaven's trying everything. Your heaven's trying everything to keep me out. All the places I've been and things I've seen, a million stories that I've made up, a million shattered dreams.
Welcome back to CKVI 91.9 FM The Cave. I am still your host, Lauren.
And I'm still your host, Angie.
And just to close things off for you guys, we have some tips for helping a friend with PTSD.
So we're going to start these off. The first tip we have is learn everything you can about PTSD. The more you know, the better you will be able to handle a situation.
Another point here is to exercise together. So exercise actually strengthens the overall body and health.
Another really important one is don't judge them.
Another one is be there to listen. So make yourself available for them when they need to talk.
Showing respect is another big one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Look out for them and show them you care, because I feel like they might not know that a lot of people do care about them. So
allow room for mistakes. People slip up, especially when they're in such an emotional, difficult place. Yeah, so just allow them and be there for them, basically, to help them out when they're ready.
Talk positively. That's always, everyone can use a little bit of optimism.
I think that's a good one for any time at all. Just always talk positively. You never know what someone's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Give them their space when they need it.
That is very important, because I feel like if you try to constrict them too much, they might break down a little bit more than they
exactly.
Love them. That's Yeah. Love is an important
be
thing.
Be genuine about it. Don't belittle them.
Yeah.
That's kind of along with respect.
Being patient, that is a big one, because they are usually very impatient people, which could drive you to be very impatient.
Avoid harsh remarks. For example, telling them to get over their problems. It may make matters worse.
That can go for a lot of different mental issues as well, like telling people that they just need to stop being sad if they have depression.
I find a lot of these are very general, just everyday.
Yeah.
Take care of people.
Especially anxiety. Just be like, man, why are you freaking out? Calm down. You can't just tell someone who's having a panic attack to calm down.
Exactly.
I don't think that works. Encourage their self-esteem. That's a big one.
That's a good one for all the time.
Yep.
And take care of yourself. You have to learn to help yourself before you can learn to help others. That is something that everyone needs to keep in mind. I find a lot of people get very emotional about not being able to help someone else, but you've got to take care of yourself first.
Also, in serious situations, it may be helpful to seek out professional help, whether it be advice or assistance. PTSD treatment centers are also available for anyone suffering.
That is very important. A lot of the time, you want to help someone, you want to do the best you can for them, but sometimes they need more further help, and it's the only way.
Yep.
It really is. It's really hard to admit that you can't help someone, but it's important for them if you actually get them the help they really, really need. But unfortunately, this hour is coming to an end, and on behalf of both of us, we hope that you have enjoyed this show and maybe even taken something out of it, learned something. It definitely, I think, opened our eyes to a lot of things. We had a lot of fun doing this,
I think. Yeah. So if you would like more information on the subject, there are a number of sources for you. Some official books about the issues include the WPA book, Disasters and Mental Health. There's also the United Nations Children Fund, which is a UNICEF document named The State of the World's Children, Childhood Under Threat. And lastly, there is the book Trauma and the Role of Mental Health in Post-Conflict Recovery. So we have one more song coming up for you guys. We hope you enjoy it. Maybe two if we have enough time.
Yep.
But thank you for tuning in to CKVI 91.9 FM, The Cave Educational Radio.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real solution. Plan. You asked me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all doing what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait. Mind instead.
But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anymore.